Jeff's Guitar Clinic is a multifaceted shop offering guitars, amplifiers, and all accessories, guitar lessons for all ages, and instrument repair of the highest quality. Take the scenic drive to beautiful Fort Atkinson and see what total customer satisfaction is all about. Call Jeff's Guitar Clinic today at 920-723-1733. That's Jeff's Guitar Clinic at 920-723-1733. Jeffsguitar.com.
I want to thank all the labor unions here in Dane County that help keep SlysOffice.com up and going so you keep up to date, whether it be the Madison Firefighters, Local 311, or the Madison Teamsters, Local 695, or our friends at Madison Teachers Incorporated. These are some of the most active local unions who organize, and constantly stand up for workers. Thank you from SlysOffice.com.
Welcome to another podcast at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers and great local sponsors like SNR Remodeling and Madison Computer Works. John Nichols from the Capital Times with us. John, the race for governor heated up yesterday as we record this podcast. Paul Soglin has entered the race for governor. I'll be honest, I don't think he was going to do it. Scott Walker immediately tweeted out the most ridiculous ad hominem attack on Madison, saying we don't need more Madison in our lives. Ironically, from a political insider who's basically been in Madison since 1993, you know, in some sort of majority, controlling the political apparatus of a crooked machine in Wisconsin.
What do you really think?
Well, he's the ultimate Madison insider.
No, I mean, look, the fact of the matter is that if you go back and you take a look, and I've got to add the numbers up, so we'll do it in the next few hours, I guess. But if you take a look at the number of races for public office that Scott Walker has run or tried to run over the last almost 30 years, right? Because remember, Scott Walker's attempts in politics go back for decades. And it's not just his wins. The guy has also lost. And you run that against Paul Soglin's record. And you say, yeah, Soglin's been involved in politics for almost 50 years. I would bet you they're roughly parallel, that they've made roughly the same number of runs.
We just know that Paul Soglin's worked in the private sector a lot longer.
Well, not only has he worked in the private sector, he's actually succeeded in the public sector. And that's a big deal.
It's interesting. He took over as mayor of Madison right when the recession was still kind of dwindling at the time, and the effects of Act 10. He had to cope with that. That was a huge hit.
And he embraced it. He embraced the challenge. That was the amazing thing, if you recall that 2011 race. He not only did he go and sleep in the Capitol with the protesters, he enthusiastically said, you know, this is going to be hard, but I want to take it on. I'm ready to do this. Why? Because he's really good at budgeting and managing, whether you like him or not. People may have personal differences. They may have ideological differences. But there's very few people who've experienced Paul Walker or Paul Soglin over the years who haven't come to respect his technical skills. And here's the other interesting thing about Paul Soglin. If you go back, you know, you say, well, yeah, well, he can't claim credit for everything in Madison. And you say, okay, well, people really like State Street. It's a great place to hang out, to go shopping, stuff like that. Who did the innovations that kind of made State Street, you know, what we know it as today? Who was the former mayor that did? Oh, well, that was Paul Soglin. People like, you know, you just run up through the histories. People like this, they like that about Madison. So many of the things he had his hand in.
Let's play a clip of Soglin. Walker came out swinging, going after the crime rate in Madison, going after the mayor's record on the economy, saying that he really doesn't deserve any of the credit. So here's what Soglin said in response.
Tonight, Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein releasing the testimony of the man whose firm
commissioned
the...
That certainly isn't that.
That's another story altogether.
Our success is far superior to the rest of the state. And when you take Dane, the seven counties that comprise the rest of the region, we are the ones that are making him look good. And he'd better say thank you.
For the first part of that statement, I don't think was wise politically. I don't think bragging that our part of the state, you know, is doing better than your part of the state.
Yeah.
I don't think that's good.
No, and in fact, I would counsel that's where Walker may be succeeding on one element of this, and that is pushing Soglin into a debate about one part of the state, right? When the goal ought to be to open up a debate about the whole state. It is true that the Madison area has had an incredible success in recent years. And it, so much so that, you know, where are the tech companies locating, right? Not the ones that you give $3 billion in tax breaks to or whatever, but, you know, the ones that actually, you know, just come and look around saying, well, where's a good place to be? Well, it does happen to be Madison, Dane County, surrounding areas. These places have really succeeded. But the deeper notion there, the deeper issue of Scott Walker should say thank you, right? That's something tweaked out in the right way could make a lot of sense. The fact of the matter is Scott Walker doesn't give credit to mayors and county executives and local officials and working people, farmers, factory workers, small business owners, who through some really tough times have gutted it out, made big changes, and actually made the state function. You know, what Walker claims credit for is not what he has done. In fact, all evidence is that Walker slowed the progress down.
Well, let us be really clear. You know, Illinois leads the nation in people leaving.
Yeah.
Wisconsin is 10th.
Yeah, they're not leaving Illinois to come to Wisconsin as much as you know, one might think.
Yeah, they're running silly ads to try to lure people to Wisconsin from Chicago.
And I tell you, the one thing is, boy, just put an ad. You notice that they're not, I don't think, unless I'm missing something, putting Scott Walker in those ads.
By the way, are there two more awful people than the leaders in the Illinois race, J.B. Pritzker and Bruce Rauner? Two awful millionaires.
Yeah, it makes our competition on all sides seem more appealing.
Oh, man, that is...
But with that said...
With Pritzker talking to Rod Blagojevich.
Yeah. You know what I think it is, though? I think it's, you know, this is exactly what Bernie Sanders ran against in 2016.
Of course it is.
Oligarchy. You know, where, yeah, you've got a choice, this billionaire or that billionaire. You know, and that's what oligarchy is.
All right, so this is an interesting race, because if all these people stay in, and they all kind of hang on to their little niche, whether it be Dana Walks in Northwest Wisconsin, whether it be whether it be Malin Mitchell with some union support, whether it be Paul Soglin and Tony Evers. I still think Tony Evers has the most name ID of any of the people running, and just came off obviously a victory. Is it still his to lose?
Yeah, I think up to a point.
Is he a front runner? We haven't seen a poll yet.
Well, I've seen some polls, some internal polls that have been done, and a couple other bits and pieces. And here's what I can tell you. They surprise you. Because, yes, Tony Evers does have a lot of name recognition. But he has name recognition in epically low turnout off-year elections, right? Coming from epically low turnout off-year elections. He's been on the ballot many times, statewide. But he's never been on the ballot in an election, you know, that you would call a high turnout election.
With a D in front of his name.
Well, with a D, but also just with a lot of voters coming. And so, while Evers has advantages and they should not be underestimated, when you look at polling, it is interesting that on just pure name recognition or name appeal, he's not that far ahead. You know who actually gets surprisingly good numbers in at least some polls? Matt Flynn from Milwaukee, the lawyer, former Democratic Party chair. You say, well, why would Matt Flynn, who hasn't ever won a statewide race, hasn't even run statewide since, if I'm not
1986.
And, you know, why would that be? Well, I can tell you exactly why. He's a big name in the Milwaukee area. He is known there. He was on statewide public television for years as a political commentator. And his name is Flynn.
Good Irish Catholic name.
Right. At this point in the race, this is the important thing to understand. At this point in the race, there's nobody, with the possible exception of Soglin, there's nobody who's got that sort of, you know, broader name recognition.
It's interesting. Flynn, in his past races, has sort of run as a centrist. He's running to the left. And I will tell you, you know, I'm supporting Dana Walks, but Flynn has been very, very impressive in his TV interviews. And I know very few people have seen those so far, but he shouldn't be discounted. He's a smart man.
What's more than that, I think he is right now running the most engaged, aggressive, and on-target campaign of all the candidates. Now, that's not to say he's the perfect candidate. It's not even to say he's the right candidate. But, boy, when things happen at the national or state level, he's got a statement out on it. He's got a plan. He's gotten, you know, I'll give you a good example. You know, Sessions is going after marijuana legalization and going after the states that have led on that. Flynn was out immediately with proposals, with ideas, and with an embrace of what is frankly a very popular reality.
You know, it's interesting. Evers and Soglin have been very tepid about fighting against repealing Act 10. And maybe it's because they come from Madison and they are sensitive about, you know, getting targeted as a Madison candidate. Flynn, Gronick, actually, even Malin Mitchell has not been that strong. Flynn and Walks have been much stronger about talking about repealing Act 10 than some of the other candidates.
Well, it's also interesting to watch some of the other candidates dealing with Foxconn, right? Are you there?
Yep, you bet. I was waiting for you to pontificate, John.
Sorry, I was like, whoa, I think I lost you. But but dealing with Foxconn, because a number of these candidates have, they've talked around it. They've said some, you know, thoughtful things and stuff like that. But, you know, give Walks credit on this one. He took the hard position going into, you know, some of those key committees and the key play on it. He cast the hard vote. He's been very public about it. And, you know, I have to tell you, I'm convinced, as Mark Pocan, the congressman from the 2nd District, is, that that Foxconn's going to defeat Walker.
Let's talk about
his biggest vulnerability.
Let's talk about Kelda Roy has made her statewide appearance on Upfront. Kent Wainscott was filling in for Mike Goucher, and Kelda decided to proclaim herself something that by any metric she is not.
Our success is far superior.
There we go again.
To the rest
I got to figure these numbers out
she
today.
Is not
and when you take
that is not
tonight. Democratic Senator Diane.
I got to figure
tonight.
And she is not.
We're going to call a little audible here. Tonight. Hang on a second. Hang on.
Today, the president still dealing
well,
with fallout
it's
over.
It's here somewhere.
Our success is.
I happen to be the only pro-choice woman in the race. And I think, you know, when you look at who powers the Democratic Party, our electorate does tend towards women, and we're a party of reproductive rights. And so it's important to have different perspectives represented.
Can I ask you, because you obviously are very offended by the notion that this book, Fire and...
Let me ask you, there are three other women in this race. Kathleen Vinehout has been attacked for her position, but she is by any measure pro-choice. One woman from Stoughton we don't know. The businesswoman from Cross Plains is clearly pro-choice. Why would Kelda go out there and say that she's the only pro-choice woman?
Yeah, I think it invites that exact question. And look, it gets to the heart of the matter here. Kelda Royce has a legislative record, and she is in exactly what I think we should see more of in Wisconsin politics and in national politics, more young women stepping up and, you know, being the candidates, because I think there's a lot of evidence that, you know, this is something that works politically. Tammy Baldwin is a very good example of that, that, you know, a young woman who's not been in politics for a very long time has won a lot of tough races. And I think a big part of it was that she was able, Tammy Baldwin, able to inspire people to get involved, to suggest that politics is more open, that there are more options than you might imagine. And so Kelderoy's has tremendous opportunities in this race, but she's got to run in a way that really highlights her strengths and highlights her competence. And you don't do that by, suggesting something that may not be the case.
Is
not the case. But B, also going after the other women in the race. Or you know, trying to...
Well, and to be so clumsy as to say, you know, woman and pro-choice. You know, Tammy Baldwin never had to say, I'm the only lesbian in the race.
No.
Tammy didn't say, I'm the only woman in the race. Tammy just let the obvious be the obvious.
And she did something else. She turned up the volume on issues. Historically, she's turned up the volume on issues that that might draw more people to her, right? That might, you know, build out her base. She's made the assumption that as a strong woman, one of the first members of the LGBTQ community to run for higher office, the first lesbian to be elected to out lesbian to be elected to Congress and to the Senate, that she didn't need to go over that. She didn't need to, you know, say to folks, hey, you know, I need your backing. We can make this historic breakthrough. What she recognized is that she also could be a strong leader, as she has been, on issues of war and peace, on issues of civil liberties, on issues of economic justice. Remember, it was Tammy Baldwin who flew back from Washington in 2011 and went to the floor of the Capitol with the people who were protesting against Scott Walker's policies and stood right in the center of things.
Yeah, they used it against her, and it didn't work. We got to take a break, but let me just say this. This is the kind of race that Kelderoy's ran against Congressman Pocan when he was a state representative, and it was an epic fail. John Nichols from the Capital Times and The Nation at SlysOffice.com.
SlysOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
You know, we work hard every day. In mills and mines, hospitals and schools, in office buildings, pharmacies and shipyards, factories and forests, in squad cars, ambulances and taxicabs. We do all kinds of jobs in Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, and all across the United States and Canada. We build the things that build our country. We do things that keep our country going, support our families and our communities. We have the courage to stand up even when no one else does. We have the strength to fight for what's right, for our families and for yours. We're your friends, your neighbors, your sisters and brothers. We're more than 1 million members strong. We stand in solidarity with workers in every continent on the globe. We're the United Steelworkers Union, and every day we fight for you. Please join our fight. Visit usw.org or like us at facebook.com/steelworkers.